Welcome to Tim Bray's Ongoing Podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the articles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. Here we go. This piece was published on the 22nd of May, 2021, and is entitled 16 Classics. And for the podcast, since it's all about music, if I were really assiduous, I would have figured out how to include samples of all the music, but sorry. I just finished writing about the process of, and lessons from, processing 900 inherited LPs into my collection. I thought it wouldn't be fair to stay meta, so here is a handful of my favorites from among the new arrivals. Yes, they are all music by dead white men, performed by other dead white men, oh, and a couple of women. Sorry, they were released between 1953 and 1978. You can buy these online at discogs.com, but I don't recommend it because Discogs is sleazy, that's a link, or on eBay, but I don't recommend that either, because why not go to an actual record store, most towns have them, and cruise the classical section. It's usually pretty quiet. Pick up some rock and roll and country and dubstep and reggaeton and Dixieland and Bollywood while you're there, too. My favorite thing to do in a record store is leaf through the new arrivals bin, which, granted, wouldn't include any of these. Okay, here we go. Trumpet Trills. The record is entitled Trumpet Concertos Performed by Adolf Scherbaum. Early stuff. The composers are Haydn, Leopold Mozart, Marc-Antoine Charpentier, Alessandro Stradella, Giuseppe Torelli, Vivaldi, Telemann, Johann Christoph Grautner, and Johann Friedrich Fasch. None of these works are musical monuments, but Scherbaum digs into the big Baroque lilt and offers the juiciest trills and ornamentation I've ever heard anywhere. Impossible not to smile. Sound quality is adequate. Date, 1965. So I should say that there are little pictures in the margin of all the record covers, and for each one, a link to the Discogs, if you want to read more about it and buy it there, although that never worked for me, and remember it if you want to go down to the record store. Anyhow, next. Opera, but no singing. It's Verdi Overtures with Abbado and the London Symphony. I enjoy live opera, but for no reason I can explain, just don't listen to recordings. Which is probably unfair to Verdi, because on the evidence here, he wrote really superior music. Abbado and the Londoners really bring it. This is the kind of record that if you're reading a book or something, it regularly grabs your attention away. Terrific sound, too. Date, 1978. Oistrakh! David Oistrakh's 60th birthday jubilee concert. Oistrakh plays the violin concerto with the... Oh, it doesn't say Tchaikovsky. It's all Tchaikovsky. Oistrakh plays the violin concerto with the Moscow State Philharmonic and then conducts them in the 6th symphony, also called the Pathétique, recorded live on two successive evenings in September 1968 by Melodia, the old Soviet record label. This is my favorite among the 900 LPs, and it's not close. I can't say which performance I like better. Oistrakh, to quote George Clinton, tears the motherfucking roof off in the violin concerto with fabulous tone and dynamics and isn't shy about using showy cheap tricks, which is fine by me. Also, this is one of Peter Ilyich's best works. The Pathétique is more controlled, but it's controlled ferocity. Some of the sequences have an aesthetic that is straight out of heavy metal. In case it's not obvious, listening to this album is like being at a really great rock concert by someone who's on top of their game, knows it, and is determined to send the audience home with their heads reeling. Date, 1968. Beaux-Artistes, I mean the Beaux-Arts Trio, who performed for 50 years, starting in 1955. The record is Tchaikovsky Piano Trio in A Minor, Opus 50, and it's a really fine piece of chamber writing, and the artists bring loads of dynamics that explode out of the speakers. And the next one in the same chapter is Beethoven Archduke Trio, Opus 97, another fine performance of essential music. There's a problem with chamber music. It can be more fun to play than to listen to, in particular because a lot of recordings are dominated by steely mid-string surface noise. These two just speak truth. The wiggles in the LP grooves really capture what those fine instruments, well played, sound like. Dates, 1971 and 1975. Very easy listening. Here we have Mantovani and his orchestra, More Golden Hits. I have a bit of a soft spot for easy listening music from the period of my childhood, I think because my dad liked to play it sometimes. Now I own several inches of such LPs, of which this is the best by miles. One generally doesn't expect musical depth. In this case, one would be wrong. To start with, Mantovani gets a string sound, maybe with some help of studio magic, that is ravishing, just astonishingly sweet. Also, the arrangements are fine, the playing polished, and there are nice tunes here, especially Stranger in Paradise. Date, 1976. Hail Victoria! I mean, Victoria de Los Angeles. I guess that'd be Angeles. who lived between 1923 and 2005, a Spanish soprano, and the record is entitled A World of Song. I dropped the needle on this one and thought, ah, pretty scratchy, probably not keeping it, but then Ms. DLA started singing, and I sat back and shut up. As I said, I rarely to never listen to recorded opera singers, but this is just an explosion of passion and power. I wish I'd found a way to see her perform in her lifetime. Wow. Date, 1965. Russian Reiner, Marsh Slav, a festival of Russian music. I don't know what the Russian for chestnut in the musical sense is, but these are those. If you ever took a high school music class and the teacher played you famous Russian tunes, you'll probably find them here. They're famous because they're good. But let's be honest, this one makes the list, at least partly, because it's an audio showpiece. Turn it up as loud as you can without someone calling 911 and sink into the musical goo. Date, 1960. Bruch Mozart Violin. So there's the first record here is Heifetz, Bruch Concerto in G minor, Mozart Concerto in D major, sorry, G minor and D major, respectively. Fine music, fine fiddler, fine orchestra, great sound. This is just a treat for the ears. The 19-year-old Mozart said his own debut performance of the D major went like oil, and I can see why. This is extremely smooth music. Heifetz charges through the Bruch, high drama, maximum dynamics, thundering orchestra, soaring violin, what's not to like? Wait, did I mention the B-side of the record first? Yeah, Heifetz's assault on the Bruch is good fun, but the stack of inherited LPs also included Bruch, Kyung Hwa Chung Violin Concerto, and Scottish Fantasia. She decided to maximize for flow, not drama, and it's really a much better take. Then on the Fantasia, she and the orchestra reach back and let her rip, impossible to listen without smiling. Dates, 1963 and 1972. Julian and George. That's Julian Bream and George Malcolm, sonatas for lute and harpsichord. The sonatas are by Bach and Vivaldi, and wow, they're great. Also, I like that the cover photo of Bream and Malcolm looks like they're just back from several hours at the pub. Here we have two instruments, neither of which have any sustain, so achieving legato is a challenge, which the boys laugh at. The slow movements are the best part. They take liberties with the arrangements, with a sure hand, I think. The shift between Johann Sebastian's music and Antonio's is unsubtle and left me appreciating each of them more. Date, 1969. Tight Mozart. This is Daniel Barenboim, the English Chamber Orchestra, Mozart, Piano Concerto No. 14 in E-flat, K449, and Piano Concerto No. 15 in B-flat, K450. It's hard to go wrong with Barenboim and Mozart. Also, the orchestra is excellent and the recording is just fine. But the thing that grabbed me here was the absolutely exceptional ensemble, as though the soloist and orchestra were sharing a single brain. Reminds me of a rock concert I stage managed one time. The band had been on the road for a long time, and standing listening, one of my stagehands said, "They're so tight, they're loose." Well, yeah. Date, 1968. Serenity. No, not the spaceship in Firefly, the feeling. It's entitled L'Adagio del Bignone, Le Largo de Handel, et huit autres célèbres, huit aria célèbres. And it's full of serenity. Along with the Albinoni and Handel, there are tracks by Bach, Haydn, Gluck, and Mozart. Every single one is a gem. Lots of modern life situations demand serenity, and it's good to know there's a flat, round piece of vinyl that has it to offer. Also, wonderful sound, but it's so great you probably won't even notice. Date, 1976. Take it down. This is Rachmaninoff Silverman, Piano Sonata No. 1 in D minor, Opus 28, Etude Tableau in C minor, Opus 33, No. 3. Silverman is a Canadian piano player who brings a lot of feeling to what he plays, and I'm a fan. This outing is moody and restrained. I'd describe the tone as heavy, in a good way, as in fully laden. There's no rushing, no theatrics, just a whole lot of very good playing that is entirely sure of where it's going and makes you content to wait while it gets there. Date, 1976. Symphony Boxes. This is Haydn, Philharmonia Hungarica, Antal Doradi, Symphonies No. 20-35, in this particular box. Doradi put together an orchestra of Hungarians who got through the Iron Curtain after the 1956 uprising, and they released all of Haydn's 100-plus symphonies in multi-LP box sets. I inherited three such boxes, have only listened to a sampling of the size, but boy have I ever enjoyed them. It's mind-boggling that a mere mortal could create this much music at a very, very high standard. The production gets out of the way, the sound is decent, and the playing is unflashy, but then so are the symphonies, mostly. Awfully good stuff. Date, 1973. Violin Alone. This is Heifetz plays Bach, unaccompanied sonatas and partitas, complete. For many years, I've cherished Gidon Kremer's recording of this material, blogging at length about it in 2007. Heifetz isn't as precise, and arguably doesn't dig as deep into this very deep music, but it's impossible not to enjoy because Heifetz sounds like he's having so much fun playing it. Kramer's instrument vanishes for me. I just hear the music. Listening to Heifetz, I think, that's some damn fine fiddling. The fact that it's in mono is irrelevant. For a recording of a single instrument, the sound is just fine. Date, 1953. That's all, folks.